going to ask you a question, but I don't want you to respond. I don't want you to respond yet. I'm going to ask you a question first because I just want to throw it out there. I just want you to listen. And this is the question. I wonder how many people believe in the power of God. Now, I don't want you to answer. I just want you to think about that because here is the real question. How many of you believe in prayer, but I can honestly say you don't pray as often as you should? Could you tell me with a show of hands how many of you fall in that category? You believe in prayer, but you just don't pray as often as you should. Go ahead and put them up again. I'm going to say, I looked at this side. I didn't see over here. Okay, a lot of us. And that could be all kinds of reasons. We'll touch on some of these. You know, we're busy. We don't have time. We get distracted. But I think there's a certain percentage of people who might very well, they believe in prayer, but they've come to believe that maybe their prayers aren't being heard. This morning, we're going to wrap up this series we've been in called A Better Way. What we've been doing is we of course, always look at what Jesus taught us in his preaching and his teaching. But in this study, we've been looking at the way Jesus lived and trying to incorporate that into the way we live. And one thing that you can see constantly in the life of Jesus, it didn't matter what kind of crazy life was going on, that the Romans government, the army was in charge of everything. It didn't matter that the disciples were doing what they were doing, where they were going. It didn't make any difference what the rumors were of wherever they were, what was going on. Jesus was constantly in a prayer life, and he was constantly seeking his Father in prayer. That's a constant throughout the ministry of Jesus' earthly ministry. He prioritized the presence of prayer in everything he did. You know, prayer empowered him to overcome temptation he faced when he was in the desert. He was able to be faithful to God. Through prayer, he was completely obedient. He healed with the power of God. You know, he was constantly leaning upon God and in communication with him. And I have to ask the question, why aren't we? If we want to live like Jesus, why is prayer something we just kind of throw up before we eat a meal? Or we come to church on Sunday, somebody prays for us? Or somebody might be praying and we just kind of observe them praying? Why is prayer become so commonplace, so ignored, so easily just forgotten if it was so important to Jesus? I think there's three reasons that we struggle with prayer. I can't say that that's all the reasons, but three that I think stand out mostly. I thought we should really take a look at some of these. There's the first one. We lack focus. We lack focus. We're like the squirrel. Dear God, my prayer is, what's that? Dear God, my prayer is for my friend. What do I smell? Dear God, my prayer is for my friend who cares. I care so much about. Is that? I can't believe she walked in. I can't believe she's here for church. I can't. And that's how our prayers go sometimes. We're like the squirrel. You know, the dog and the squirrel in the cartoon movie, the dog's talking, squirrel. That's kind of how we are with prayer. We're praying along and suddenly, squirrel. And we're off to the races. We're down the hole. We're gone. Where were I? I don't know. I can't remember where I was. You're praying. You remember you got to take out the trash. Then you just go back to praying. And you remembered. Oh, yeah, I got to close that door. Oh, yeah, then I remember. And then pretty soon you've just forgotten and gotten up and quit. Sometimes we lack focus. Sometimes we lack confidence. We feel very inadequate. Have you ever been around someone who has an eloquent prayer? I went to Bible college from West Virginia. English was my foreign language. Okay, I just barely got shoes on by the time I went to college. And I would come in, and some of these kids were preacher's kids. And we had to take turns in class, in different classes I had. And so they'd ask some kid to pray, and he would get up and pray this eloquent prayer, and he remembered the missionaries, and he's quoting Lamentations, and I'm thinking, well, I don't even know where Lamentations is. And they would pray all these prayers, and then it's like, Mr. Wright, you'll be praying for us next week. And a week goes by, and I'm just sweating it out because I'm thinking, you know, my prayers around my house were like, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. You know what I'm talking about, you know? You've been there, you know? Hey, there's meat, now let's eat. And I just was not a prayer person. My family weren't. So I had to learn how to pray, and it was really a struggle. And some of us, I think, have been so intimidated by that that you think you have to have a Bible college education or 50 years as a Christian to think you can't pray. And I'm just amazed of people who have been Christians for as long as some people have. And when you ask them to pray in public, they freeze. They just freeze. Like, I didn't ask you to recite the Declaration of Independence. I just asked you to talk to your father. And they just freeze. Some of us lack faith. It's not confidence, it's faith. We just lack faith. You're not sure God's really going to hear you. Or you've prayed and you think, well, God never hears my prayers, or God doesn't really care about me. And every one of us have had some kind of story like that. As a kid, my dad was over 6 foot tall. I prayed that I'd be as tall or taller than my dad. I'm 5'10". Not going to get any higher, and at this weight, I'm not jumping off the ground. So it didn't happen. I prayed and prayed and prayed about that as a kid. When my grandmother got sick and was nearing older age, and we knew time wasn't long, my mom asked me, Rod, would you pray for your grandmother? I will. And she died. I've had those experiences. I know you've had those experiences. Recently, I prayed for my brother. My brother's in bad shape for a long time. Gave his life to the military. Then went out and worked 3 more jobs and retired from them. But his health just wasn't very good, and I prayed for my brother. And last month, he died. Did God not hear me? Did God not care what I care about? Does God not sensitive to my needs? See, here's the thing. I titled this sermon, When You Feel Like You've Given Up on Prayer, because sometimes people feel like they give up on prayer because they don't feel it's doing any good. See, to understand what prayer is, we first got to grasp what prayer is not. It's almost like unteaching children bad habits first before we can teach them good habits. And I think in some cases, some of you have picked up some bad habits in your prayer life from TV, from fiction, from Hollywood, maybe even from other people who have picked these up. And I just want to share what prayer is not. Prayer is not a formal presentation. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be kneeling on your knees. You don't have to approach God in King James Version. We beseech thee, Father, to endow thy blessings on us. You know what I'm talking about. You know, you pray like King James reads. You don't have to do that. Prayer isn't some cosmic wish list. God isn't some cosmic Coke machine that we submit our prayer to. Hopefully, we're going to get an answer back. Prayer is also not spiritual negotiation. This is one of the biggies. It's not spiritual negotiation. It's not a place for us to tell God what you will or won't do if he will do or not do something. I don't know about you, but if I've ever negotiated with anybody, you both have something in the game, right? You both have something you're negotiating with. Here's a wake-up call. You got nothing. You're a sinner, redeemed, bound for hell. You've had grace extended to you, and you are saved by grace through the love and will of God, and you dare to come before God and say, if you do this, I'll do this. Think about the silliness of that. Over the years, I have heard so many, I'll give up cussing if you just would do this, God. God, I'll give up cigarettes if you'll heal my wife. Should have given up cigarettes anyway. You should have quit cussing anyway. I mean, sometimes God almost chuckles at us. It's like, what a knucklehead. I can't believe he trying to bargain with things that he ought to be doing anyway. We sometimes think we can negotiate with God. Here's another thing, prayer. Prayer is not a performance to win favor. It's not that we pray these long, flowery, eloquent prayers that God would take notice of us and hear our request. Prayer is not many of the things that we've grown up thinking. We've got a lot of baggage about this. We saw how Jesus lived. We interact with God all the time. We understand. Here's an important point for us to understand. Prayer isn't an action you do, but a way you live. I want to say that again because I really want it to soak in. Prayer isn't an action you do, but a way you live. It isn't something you stop in life and then you go pray and then you go back to life. No, it's part of your living. It's part of your everyday life. When you look at the way Jesus lived, prayer wasn't some momentary break in his day that he took. It was part of his day. He didn't stop everything, kneel down, close his eyes and put his hands together and then finish and say, amen, and everybody go back to moving. And in the way I find it, prayer isn't an action you do, it's a way you live. Jesus prioritized the presence of God in prayer. Over and over again in Scripture, Jesus would leave the crowd and go off and pray by himself. Sometimes he'd get up way early in the morning before anybody else. When they finally would get up, they'd find Jesus praying. Sometimes he would get up and go to the mountains and pray. Sometimes he'd get up and he'd go by the lake and he was praying. He would find time out of his schedule that he could pray by himself. He could pray with just he and his Father because they had this intimate relationship and he could do that. He was always disconnecting from the world and fully connecting with God. The Gospels reflect this all the time. Jesus prayed at his baptism. He prayed when he got up in the morning, going to Galilee. He prayed when he was healing people. He prayed the night before choosing the disciples. You could go on and on. I'd be here all morning. Jesus spent time in prayer before he really did anything. Prayer wasn't just a part of his day. It wasn't an action. It was who he was. And of course, in our 21st century hustle bustle, we're saying, well, that's great. Jesus had nothing to do but be the Messiah. I got a job. I got to go to the grocery store. I got doctor appointments. And I got doctor appointments for my doctor appointments. So I'm just really, really, really busy. I can work God in maybe next Thursday. That's really how we kind of act. We really act like we really don't have time for God. You see, if you don't make time for God, he will make you have time for him. He'll put you flat on your back until you got nothing to do but sit and look at a ceiling and think, I think I should have been spending more time talking to God. God will get your attention. I guarantee it. Friends, it's not the case we don't have time to pray. You don't have time not to pray. You don't have time not to pray. We know it's tough out there. It's brutal out there. The world is tough. You're not going around hearing jingle bells and joy to the world because it's not Christmas and because you don't hear it even then. We need God's presence in our lives, and we need to disconnect from this world. Let me read you what I call this a devotional translation. It's Matthew's gospel. This is from the message, but written by Eugene Peterson. It's just kind of a devotional translation. Here's what he says. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place. Place to pray. You got to find a place to pray. Where you can be by yourself. So you won't be tempted to role play before God. You know, we kind of role play. Other people hearing us pray, we put in words we don't normally use. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. You know, there's kind of a checklist of things that we can do to enhance our prayer life, but number one is finding a place to pray that works for you. Some people, their place to pray is in the car. You know, sometimes when I get home, turn the car off, and I'm sitting in the car, it's quiet, and I just pray there. Sometimes when I get here to the office, it's before anybody else. I close my door and I pray. There's lots of places you can find when you really want to find a secluded place to pray, when you're looking for one. You see, you need to find intimacy, because here's the thing. Intimacy is never an accident. You never accidentally find intimacy with God. You're not just actually going around and saying, oh, I found intimacy with God. No, you have to work toward it. You have to plan on it. And that's what you're searching for. You want to be intimate with God. It isn't brain surgery. You know, I love my wife. I want to spend time with her. There's no way we could be long married 43 years this year. Right? 43? Yeah, 43. 43. 43 years married, and if we didn't talk to each other, if we didn't spend time with each other. We have to spend time, you know? It's one of our favorite times. It's like, what was your day like? I don't know. What was your day like? We could be sitting down, and TV's on, and we'll turn the TV off, and we'll just sit and talk. And we'll catch up on our day, and we'll get to know each other more and find out what's going on and what happened and what's good and what's bad. I see no difference in that in your talking and spending time with God. God wants to know what's on your heart. He wants to know what's on your mind. He wants to know what's keeping you from sleeping at night. He wants to know why you're not resting comfortably. He wants to know why you struggle with that person. He wants to know all those things. And you can't do that unless you don't have intimacy with God and you speak to him privately. Matthew, the third chapter, verse 31, excuse me, 21 says, Jesus was baptized too, and as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a bodily form like a dove. A voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Now, I don't want to get too caught up in the whole idea of a Holy Spirit coming down in the form of a bodily dove, but here's something you may not know or not. Doves don't land on things that are moving. Did you know that? That's why doves get on statues. They look just like human bodies. Why don't they land on your shoulder? Well, you're moving. Statues don't. And when Jesus was there that day, and when he was praying, he wasn't moving. Let me tell you, sometimes you just need to stop and be still before the Lord. I've had this question asked 1,000 times, but what do I pray about? I was a youth minister a zillion years ago, and we were going to do a 24 hours of praying in the new year. Anybody ever done that before? Okay, I did this with a bunch of high school kids. To get them to think of anything more than about 2 minutes is tough. But they each had blocks of 15 minutes to pray for this new year. We had a ton of kids, and they had blocks of 15 minutes. And I said, what am I going to pray for 15 minutes about? And I said, well, there's a list up there to suggest some things to pray for. I said, but you just start telling the things that are on your mind and on your heart to God. And it was amazing. When these kids first started out for the first several hours, oh, man, I was running out of things to pray for. I'm so glad 15 minutes was up. Well, the interesting thing was this. As we got toward the end, some kids were asking if they could go up again, or could they go sit quietly in the room while the person who was assigned for that time was praying. And what they found out is once they finally opened the floodgate, they realized they had a lot to pray about. They had a lot they wanted to share with God, a lot they wanted to do, because they really hadn't sat down, been still forever. And suddenly it was just coming to them. I'll tell you, friends, you find your place to pray, and you sit down, and you be still, and you talk to God. Let me tell you, it's going to come. Because God wants to know what's on your heart, what's on your head, and what's right now going on in your body. He wants to know about that. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. We like to worry instead. Why have so many of us struggled to pray? How many of you grew up eating TV dinners? Come on, don't be ashamed. Swanson TV dinners, Tyson TV dinners, okay. Some of you people are like, TV dinners, what's that? TV dinners, you know, you had your mystery meat, some kind of meatloaf, I don't know what it was really. And you had some kind of turkey, or depends on what the meat was. And then you had the mashed potatoes. Now, if you didn't cook your TV dinner long enough, you had potato soup. Because they were just, you could, it was just water. You heated them long enough, they'd thicken up a little bit and make some potatoes. They didn't taste very good, but they would make some potato look like. And then you had your peas, little BBs. Cooked, they were harder than my head. And these little green BBs. And your mom's like, well, these are good for you, you got to eat them. You're thinking, she's not eating them. You're eating the peas and you're eating them all. You know, that little segregated meal we have, that's kind of the way we think of prayer. We kind of segregate. And so this is my work life over here, and here's my family life here. Over here's my hobby life. This is my friends, and over here family. And we kind of segregate our life that way. We don't recognize that our prayer life is about all of those things because it encompasses our life. We segregate our prayer time to think, oh, I'm at church, so I can only pray about spiritual things. I'm at church, so I can only pray about sick people. Who came up with that dumb idea? We can pray about anything. God doesn't want to be part of our lives. He is your life.